All right, it's 5:12, September 9th, 2025. We are meeting at the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority main office. We were unable to get into our regular meeting place. This is the Board of Directors business meeting. We are meeting virtually and in person. So, coming to order. Rules of conduct, who we have present, or we'll call the roll call. Director Dole.
Here.
Director Shoemaker.
Present.
Director Donahue, I am the chair. We have a quorum of 3 of 5. Director Anderson and Director Strotska are absent. Okay, the minutes of the August 12th, 2025 business meeting. Are there any additions or corrections? Okay, for the record, I did notice that on those minutes, the guest present, Tim Hirsch, his name was spelled H-I-R-S-C-H, and staff presence under via Teams, Rochelle DeVoe was also present, and that's not in the minutes.
Wasn't it?
Well, you were there via Teams.
Oh, okay. Because
you were ill.
You're right. Okay. Because I was sick.
So, are there any other additions or deletions or corrections that anybody knows of?
Not noted.
None.
All right. I would entertain a motion.
Motion.
Okay, I make a motion that we accept the minutes of the PCJ WSA meeting held August 12th, 2025.
Second.
We have a motion and second to accept the August 12th, 2025 business meeting minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Our financial report, item number 5, accounts payable for August 15th and August 31st of 2025. Are there any additions or corrections or questions?
Questions.
Go ahead on.
Okay. On the lease for the $7,000 to the Hurlements, is that annual?
Yes.
John?
Yes, it is.
And it's their choice to renew it every year, or is it a multi-year lease agreement?
Well, the assumption was certainly it was going to be perpetual. I think we must have a written lease agreement, although if I've seen it, it's been a long time.
We do. The last time we renewed it was probably 2019 when we went from 6,500 to 7,000.
Second question. It's 3 of 5, the parametrics, $6,552.24. Is that all inclusive of all sites, engineering costs?
I believe that was the final payment for the generator enclosure design. Is that your understanding too, Rochelle?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, it's a done deal. We're all finished here, and the bill has been paid.
Yeah, usually what happens is they're working on multiple projects for us. There'll be specific billings for work performed on each project. This was the final payment for the generator enclosure design. They are still working on some construction design standards for us that I think there will be some additional engineering charges for over the course of the next several months. Those are currently the only two projects that we have that we are officially engaged with them about.
Are there any other questions about accounts payable?
No.
All right. I will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we
accept.
I make a motion that we accept what we just spoke about and
for August 15th and August 30th.
August 15th and
August 31st.
August 34th minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the accounts payable financial report for August 15th and August 31st, 2025. No further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. The general ledger for fiscal year 25-26 budget document. Are there any questions or concerns about that?
No, but I'll just speak down to the bunch. Question to John, Rochelle. We're early into the budget. Are we on budget?
Hard to say too much.
I mean, I'd always love to have more SDCs at this point. But.
Yeah. I would say we are. Of course, it's so early. It's hard to tell. We're still waiting for invoices and stuff that for things purchased since July 1st. But I do echo Rochelle's sentiment that we'd like to see some more SDCs. We anticipate tin water and tin sewer on a yearly basis projected for the budget. Historically, that's been right in the ballpark. Last year, we didn't bring in as much revenue for those as we anticipated. And, of course, being only the 2 months into the new fiscal year, it's too soon to tell where we're going to wind up with that. But I think that we are on target as of now.
That had brings up a question. As I was looking at the ledger, I noticed under the 004 fund, which is water, sewer, capital improvements, that under system development charges, there was a zero in the period meters. Does that mean that we haven't made any installations?
That
this month?
This month. Yeah, that means that we did not receive any this month.
And I know it's the same thing for...
We did not receive any SDCs this month, in August.
Okay, that's what I thought. I'm sorry, I was going to call you today, but I got sidetracked. Okay, there's no further questions on the general ledger budget document. We'll move on to item 6, the manager's report. John?
Thank you, Tom. And at the top of this report, we always summarize the current status, water and sewer SDCs. We have one of each. So just to emphasize that. Wanted to mention, and I think I've mentioned this to the board before, we have embarked on an initiative to establish and implement a geographic information system at the authority, typically known as GIS. This technology has been around for, I want to say, about 20 years. What we're water and sewer and electrical utilities, this is an excellent program. For us, it will map all of our infrastructure precisely. We have a GPS locator that will help us precisely match every component in our system. And when I say every component, I mean every component eventually. It is a process. It is an internal effort. We did look at some external software companies, some external vendors. They wanted anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 to create this for us, but we found a program that is very cheap. It's a subscription. Like a lot of software products we use, we don't actually own the software. The software does not rely or does not reside on our local servers. It resides on the cloud, and we subscribe to the program. But the subscription cost is only about $30 a month for unlimited users, and there is no upfront fee. Tech support is free, and the only downside is this becomes a homegrown effort as opposed to paying big dollars to have an outside party do this for us. And we have already made significant strides with this program. One of the beauties of GIS is it you can view it in layers, which means you can select a layer that has all your infrastructure and it'll show up on the screen. You can select to only see parts or pieces of our infrastructure by either adding or removing layers from the screen. So if we want to just look at the location of our manholes, we just activate the manhole layer. If we want to see where our manholes are in relation to some other piece of equipment, like fire hydrants, we can view just those two components on the map. Or we can view everything. And when I say everything, I do mean everything. So one of our goals when on wanting to embark on this now is that we have a person here that's been here 28 years, has a great deal of institutional knowledge about what's buried in the ground, and his input on this program is going to be instrumental, which is one reason we're wanting to embark on this initiative now. I will say we're behind the times. Most municipalities, most utilities, whether they're water, sewer, electrical, whatever, already have this system in place. And this system is intended to accurately depict the location of all our underground water and sewer mains and every other piece of equipment in our system. And it is going to be an extremely useful tool and will eventually make paper, as-built drawings and maps virtually obsolete. So we're moving this into the 21st century. We feel like this is an important improvement for the authority, not just for the staff's use now as a tool, but more importantly, it'll be a legacy program that even when I'm gone, even when Leonard's gone, and we just have a bunch of newer employees, they will have accurate maps of our entire system for our whole service area. So we're excited about it. We're excited that we can do this, do it cheaply, do it in-house, do it effectively. And, you know, it will take a little bit of time to capture everything, but we are well underway with it, and we're excited about it, and I wanted to let the board know about it as well. Any questions about that before I move on to the next topic? No, we don't purchase it. It's just a 30-month subscription fee for unlimited access for all our employees.
But there is a tool that goes out, sorts around or whatever, and comes up with it.
No, what we do is we will just go to each piece of equipment and with our GPS locator that interfaces with this program, and it'll drop it on the map for us.
Okay. side, John, being a homegrown program, can you go into more detail about a homegrown program?
Well, when I say homegrown, it means populating it is going to be an internal effort. It's not going to be an external effort with a third-party provider. It's going to be significantly cheaper. As I say, we received one quote in excess of $50,000 to come in and do this for us. The advantage to having them do it for us is they'll be able to do it quicker, where we will be working on it as we can. But, you know, just as an example, almost every day we go out and do locates. And we have to locate the water on the sewer line. Well, while we're locating it, we are adding it to the map. So, you know, it will, by doing it internally, understanding that this is something that we will work on and continue to populate as time goes by. The downside is that it may take a year or two to be able to get the whole program to get everything captured.
As long as it's done before you leave and when
Well, we'll be adding things to it all the time, too.
Well, you know, for an example, if, you know, the Rupa water line we just did, well, if we had the old water line and its old location on there, we would have to go in there and update that. We've now got three fire hydrants on the Rupa we never had before, so we have to add those to our fire hydrant layer. You know, so as infrastructure changes, whether we're doing pipeline replacement projects or adding a step system or other things, we will have to go in and make those additions to the program as we go. So in that respect, it's never really completely done. You know, you kind of view it as a work in progress at all times, but you know, for $30 a month with no commitment and unlimited access, and the guys, the program's easy to work with, it just seems like a good way to go. And as I say, if there's a downside, because it will be a grassroots effort, it will take us a little bit longer than somebody hiring somebody for big dollars who would come out here and focus on nothing else for a full month. We'll be updating it as we can, and you know, that's the only downside, but there's a lot of upsides to this particular program and this particular choice for a software platform.
John, when I think about mapping and whatnot, I think about sewer lines, water lines, but what about drainage lines, for example, PC lines, that has occasional drainage issues, and I know there's probably drains that are up there, which may be plugged or whatever. Is that something that could get mapped in as well?
Well, it's something that could get mapped in, but since those stormwater systems are not owned by us, they're not maintained by us, they're not our responsibility, we probably won't add those to the system.
So that's over the county, I mean.
Well, yeah, it's the county or it's the homeowners association in these. And where you find these is mostly in these newer subdivisions, like Sea-Watch and in places like that. You know, we could map that, but since we have no responsibility for those systems, we probably would, Dan.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah. Wanted to also mention, last month, I lamented the fact I couldn't get much interest from a general contractor perspective for a generator enclosure project. So now I am hiring the subs, and we have made tremendous progress in only a month. So we've got all three locations nearly all prepped. The site work has been done for the concrete pads. We've got in at least one location, we've got the trench line dug for the underground electrical conduit. I think probably either later this week or next week, we'll have a concrete pad poured out from the spit wells. The week after that, the dune wells, and the week after that, the 300K. Got to let those that concrete cure for 3 weeks before Tough Shed will install their buildings on them. So once the last pad is poured, we'll order those Tough Sheds, and it sounds like they will send three different crews out and install the Tough Sheds at all three locations on the same day. Thereafter, we've got some finished electrical work to do, a little bit of finished mechanical work, a little bit of fencing work, and one thing that isn't included in the Tough Shed design are the swinging barn doors on the sheds. So we'll either have to fabricate those ourselves or hire a local carpenter just to build and install those doors on the Tough Sheds for us. But we've made a lot of progress in a short time, and I'm pleased about it. And I think within a month, we'll have those sheds up, and we'll just be looking at finished electrical work and a couple of other finishing touches. So this is a job that has been on my radar screen for 2 years. Took a long time just to get State Parks permission to do this out at the spill wells and so forth. There was a lot of logistics, a lot of things I had to go through just to get to this point. But now we should start to see things happening quickly. So wanted to mention that. We have completed our painting project here at the wastewater treatment plant. Our concrete basins were originally painted on the outside of the basins. That paint has been flaking away and in poor shape for a long time. We have finished the painting project out here. It consisted of a coat of primer, two coats of paint. Of course, to prep it, it was pressure washed. Any peeling paint areas were scraped. And it really makes a noticeable difference. It really looks much better. So that's another, not a huge maintenance project, but something that we've been wanting to do for a long time. We got done last month. So happy to report that. And then just one other thing. Wanted to recognize Jason Stewart again this month. He received another operator certification during the month of August, and counting his CDL license, which took a full month of effort, that makes four different licenses or certifications that Jason has obtained in the last 6 to 7 months alone. So he's really going after it. We're happy for him. He's taking advantage and doing these things to increase his value to us, to increase his own professional growth, and we're very happy for Jason and wanted to let the board know about his achievements during the month of August.
Please pass along the board's congratulations and thank you for your excellent effort, Jason.
Absolutely. And then, If there's no more questions, that's it for the manager's report. Does anybody have any other questions?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. If we move back to item one on the sheds, the land clearing and whatnot, is that for a contractor, or were you having to use staff to do that, cut down trees as a whole?
No, we hired the Coastway Construction, which is a local excavation company. We work with them closely on many projects. They always do a good job. They've got the equipment and the manpower to not only cut down trees and yank root wads out of the ground, but they've got the excavation experience to really prepare the grounds for the concrete slab based on the specifications. So we hired them to do that work. They also are helping us in a couple of other areas. We demoed, Tom, you and Max might remember when we went back here to the dune wells and you saw the old generator shack. That's been demoed. The old concrete pad is broke up. Coastway is going to come and haul off the old concrete for us. And once they do that, they're going to prep the ground for the concrete slab at the dune well location. And they're going to help us with the ground prep at the 300K location as well. There's an old concrete pad at the 300K. You guys might remember seeing that as well. They're going to help. We need to cut some of that existing pad off, and then we're going to pour the new concrete pad over the top of it. But Coastway is going to help us with that concrete cutting. We don't have a blade big enough to go as deep as that existing concrete pad is, so Coastway is going to help us with that. And once that's done, I think that will conclude Coastway's work. We're also working with an electrical contractor and a fencing contractor and some other specialists to get this job done.
Yeah, Tom, question. I think I remember a conversation about the parks had to be involved during certain processes to get these sheds up.
That is true, and that coordination was made, and that work and that supervision was done a week ago from today. So Tuesday of last week, that work was done, and a representative from State Parks was there to observe.
Seems like it's going fast because you're not limited to getting really bids because the total project was not over a certain amount. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. I mean, the since if I had gone the general contractor path, which is just because I've got other stuff I'm working on. We would have had to have looked at the job holistically for that purpose. We would have had to look at the total job cost, would have had to have gotten three different bids, and those bids would have included prevailing wage labor.
That's right.
Now that we've broken this into pieces, no individual piece is going to exceed the threshold that we need to get multiple quotes for. And no individual job is going to meet a prevailing wage requirement. But you wrap all these individual subs under a general contractor, you have to look at it differently than we're able to look at it now.
Okay, good. Personally, how are you doing with having to run that project and do everything else you're supposed to be doing?
Oh, I'm getting through. It is time consuming, just the coordination still and the other stuff, but I'm keeping up, let's put it that way.
Okay. And the last question is, the main work that was done, is there any guarantee time on that ending job?
You're talking about the asphalt work we did earlier?
No, the wastewater treatment plant.
Oh, yeah, you're asking if there's any type of warranty for the work or anything? Well, I can't answer that conclusively. I will say that it should last for a while, but it won't last forever. But considering they put down primer and two coats of paint, I'm very confident that we're going to get years worth of lasting value from that job. Would certainly, I'm sure, exceed any warranty. To be honest with you, I hadn't thought about the warranty question, but I think we're going to be just fine there, Dan.
I had one other question just for information. GIS stands for Geographic Information?
Geographic Information System.
Okay. Yep.
And you can Google that. It's very a very common thing these days.
Yeah, I know. I just couldn't remember what the G stood for exactly.
Well,
I know they have, like, Tillamook. I know they have, like, two full-time people working in Tillamook County. That's all they do is GIS work.
And that doesn't surprise me. Everybody has these programs that, I mean, it's looked at as a tool, you know.
Yeah, I can see how it would be very helpful.
And, you know...
surprised we didn't have it.
Well, and you know, the smaller systems are usually the last to get them. I mean, if you look at the large, I guarantee you Portland's had an elaborate GIS for a decade now. But the smaller systems are usually the ones that are the last to catch up to this stuff, PCJ being no exception. But I'm pleased that we are working to get caught up with that, and it's going to be a great tool for us.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. We'll move on to unfinished business. The authority manager job description. I went over this quite a bit myself. I've noticed that you've changed quite a bit, but kept within the same basic outlines with financial responsibilities, administrative responsibilities, operational and technical responsibilities, and then finished off with qualifications. For the first three, you have outlined duties and then the required expertise for each of those first three. And you made most of your changes on operational and technical responsibilities, as well as some administrative responsibilities. You left the qualifications exactly as you did the last draft you brought to us. Does anybody have any comments about it? I think it's very well done. Have you had a chance to look at it?
I've viewed a little bit of it, but I didn't get as much as I like to. But what I saw was pretty good.
Well, I do want to say that brought a draft to the board last board meeting, as you know. I've got some good feedback that I incorporated into it regarding wells is a pretty significant part of our public water system, and so I thought that was good comment. We should put something in there about just having some knowledge about groundwater sources and wellhead protection programs. But you also mentioned the water rights. I added content to the document to cover that, including under expertise, knowing something about Oregon water law. And once I started working on that, I started looking at the other, I decided to go ahead and make some more changes, and I wound up working on it longer and making more changes than I anticipated to it as a second go-around. But I do believe that I provided a lot more substance and a lot less general statements without really adding too much length or too much bulk to the written document. I feel like it's a better product than we had previously, not just before we embarked on this revision effort, but also a better product than the one I brought to you guys last month for consideration. So
it looks good to me. But Dan, do you have a comment?
Well, the only thing I'll say is my expertise in the industry is limited. So we really have to rely on, you know, your view of the job and making it understandable what the requirements are. I think the biggest thing that I come away with, and maybe it's covered, but, you know, the responsibility is to know and understand all local, regional, state, federal water and sewer regulatory requirements, and maybe that was in the statements you made about water a minute ago.
Well, I think there is a section that touches on exactly that concept. I want to say it's...
There's wells.
Yeah, I want to say it was...
Oregon Water Law right there.
Yeah, but down over here I've got working knowledge of regulatory requirements and related legal statutes pertinent to operation of the facilities, experience dealing with numerous regulatory agencies, including those overseeing water and wastewater facilities. And so I felt those two statements covered that, and that is an important part of things. You've got to know what the regs say on both the water and the wastewater side.
Well, there are no further comments. I'm going to take my chair hat off and put on my director hat and make a motion that we adopt this job description for authority manager as rewritten by John.
I second that motion.
Okay, putting my chair hat back on. We have a motion and a second to accept the job description for authority manager as rewritten. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Unanimously. Carried.
Thank you.
Next item is the authority manager review update. As I've already written letters to our two absent directors and everyone else here, and this is just an update. John's self-assessment is due this coming Friday, and he assures me he'll have it to me by the end of Thursday. What I will do is take his take the review form take his comments as a self-assessment and then redistribute it to each director individually so as not to deal with public meeting law. And then at that time, I will send out a reminder, and I believe I need those back by the first week in October, and I don't have the exact date with me right at the moment, but I will remind you in plenty of time when I send those John's comments back out to y'all. I will mention the date that needs to be back, but you're going to have a good 3+ weeks to work on them and make your evaluation. And then when they're due to me, I will have all your answers collated into one document and get it back to you within a couple of days or more prior to the October 12th regular business meeting, when we will have an executive meeting after the regular business meeting, and we will have John's review.
I think it's going to be October 14th.
Let me look. That's September. October. You're correct. 14th.
Okay. So the intent is to do his review and have an executive session October 14th?
Correct.
Okay.
So, Tom, I know we got a couple of newbies here. So you guys will have, you guys already have a copy of the employee review.
Survey.
And yes. you will use that to base your...
Some of our...
Your score of me on that one section of the larger annual review that the board members do, right?
That's correct.
And you will have the benefit of my self-assessment using the same template and the same form that you guys will score me on. And then, so they'll already have that information, and you will send them a copy of my completed self-assessment to each one of them, that they will then add their comments to each category, and then you will consolidate them for presenting at that October board meeting, correct?
They'll have it before that.
Okay, yeah. But so you guys will have a couple of few weeks to do your assessment, get it back to Tom. Tom will collate everything into a single document.
I'll have it out to you guys probably 15th or 16th of September.
Okay.
So you'll have at least three weeks, and a little more, to get it back to me.
Yeah.
Your comments back to me.
Well, this is always the most difficult the first time. Next year, you guys will know exactly how this all plays out, but there's a fair amount of coordination that has to take place here.
Yeah, I'll do some more explanation, Dan, Max, on in the letters what I forwarded to you.
Sounds good.
Okay.
One other point for you guys is I'll also send John a copy of the employee survey. The finished survey, as you could tell, you can't tell. Everything's anonymous there, so you can't tell who's saying or doing what. There's no special comments or anything. There's just all a score. So he will have a copy of that before his evaluation. So when we talk about his strengths and weaknesses in our executive session, he'll have a reference about approximately why we're thinking the way we are.
So, yeah, it's valuable for me to know what I was scored before I meet with the board to talk about my score.
So, the other scores are all us.
Yeah, the other scores are all the board.
Okay, John, it's not, didn't you put in comments after every
self-assessment
already?
Well, I didn't understand you.
Yeah, I did a self-assessment using the same survey the staff were given.
Okay.
Just so, because, you know, our HR people like to compare what I think I'm doing good or not doing good compared to what the staff think I'm doing good and not doing good. So that's why I participate in that as well. But not to be confused with the self-assessment I'm going to do on the larger
review
form.
Yeah.
Right.
So he actually does two self-assessments.
Do you have the ability to mute one of his?
Yeah.
That is going to be a pain in the butt for Shammer to listen to.
Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, if there's no other comments about that, let's move on to new business. Resolution 2505, the amendment to rate resolution 2503. John?
Yes, so this is probably predates Max, if I remember correctly.
It does.
Yeah, during our budget meetings.
This would have been June, end of June.
Yeah.
One of the outcomes of our budget meetings is three different resolutions, one of them being the rate resolution, where we list all our rates.
And fees.
You know, approved by the budget committee and the board previously. Usually we don't come back and want to amend this, but we have reason to want to do that this time. When we open an account for long-term renters, I'm talking about tenants, you know, people that rent houses from people, not for the weekend, but long-term.
Sure.
What we find is that category of customer is the most likely to stiff us on their last bill when they close their account. And because of that, we would like to, only on for tenants, we would like to have a requirement that they pay a deposit to open an account with us. So that it's really just to cover any potential financial loss from the authority.
Is that returnable?
It is reimbursable. It can be applied to a final bill, or they can pay their final bill the way they always pay, and then we will cut them a check, and it will be reimbursable. Now, just for the sake of thoroughness, we have two categories. Those places that have a single service and those places that have a full service. Full service means both water and sewer service. Single service means they either just get water or they get sewer from us. They don't get both. Now, we don't have a lot of situations where that happens. We don't have a lot of connections or service lines that don't have both water and sewer. But for the sake of thoroughness, if one of those locations had a tenant, we wouldn't feel as though we needed to charge the same deposit if they're only getting water or sewer versus if they're getting both services. So we're proposing a $300 deposit for those that get both services and a $150 deposit for those that just might have a single service. We believe that that will cover the final billing in nearly every case, and we believe that's about the right amount to ensure that we are protected from a financial standpoint if a tenant does move out, skip town, and does not close their account properly or pay their final billing. So we are asking the board to add those two additional fees to our rate resolution. We feel that, you know, just from our past history, what we've observed, and we believe that this is a necessary requirement to protect the authority.
I have one question. How do you get sewer without water?
We have one customer that has it, and that house
probably
was
built in
1914.
They have a well, but they're connected to their sewer system.
Okay. Okay.
The only house with a well.
And the ones that only have water have a septic tank. Yep.
Okay.
Now, not a lot of those, but as long as we're going through the effort, we just wanted to account for that remote possibility. In nearly every case, we'll be asking for a $300 deposit to open an account.
Right, because in the future, you, as of now and in the future, you don't hook up just sewer without doing water.
Correct.
That's correct. These are grandfathered.
Okay.
Well, these ones are, there's maybe 10 houses past Redicop Road going down Resort.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones that, our sewer lines don't go that far.
Okay. Makes sense.
Okay. I have a question. With all the goofiness that's gone on with tenant rights and whatnot in the state of Oregon, is this legal?
Well, this is legal. I'm aware of other municipalities that do this. This is legal, and if they don't want to pay it, they can go back to how we used to do this some years back, to where we only allow property owners to open accounts with us. So if a property owner wants to rent out their property, well, who pays for it, they can work that out with the tenant, but the responsible party is going to be the property owner.
Okay. Well, as far as the, I don't want to get into who does what, but when a landlord takes a tenant in, they're not required at all to say, hey, you're going to have this $300 deposit you need to make to the local water and sewer authority. And we have no recourse to, or any responsibility to divulge that to a renter either. Is that correct?
Well, we'll divulge it to them as soon as they call and want to open an account.
I'm talking about a guy that's just going to rent this house and, oh, it's $1,500 a month. You can pay utilities. I pay utilities as a tenant, and the landlord signs an agreement with the tenant, and then, bang, the tenant finds out he's got to cough up another $300.
Well, I think he may find out the same thing when he calls to start electricity.
Yeah, PUD requires a deposit.
PUD requires a deposit too.
For everybody, not just renters.
Yeah, there's nothing new.
But they require it of everybody. Here we're kind of, I've got to be careful about the word I use, but this is a focus on tenants, because this is the primary group that very disproportionately leaves us holding the bag for the final billing. Now, the homeowner, we can attach this to the house. We can, you know, we can work with the title company to get paid, but we don't have that recourse with tenants. And currently, all we're doing is sending them to collections, and we don't get much return on that either. You know, and of course, you know, nobody's going to take somebody to small claims court or anything like that over a $300 water bill. But, you know, this is just the type of thing that, yeah, I mean, when you're a renter, I've been there. I'm sure everybody in this room has been there at some point. A lot of times you got to pay a cleaning deposit. You got to pay first and last. You got to pay deposits and other fees to hook up to start your utilities. You know, and you know, it's just something that if they're going to be a tenant and they're going to have services, they have to find a way to get it done. And like I say, this isn't a mandate. If they don't want to pay a deposit, well, then they need to work with the property owner and have the property owner be the account holder. And how the property owner gets reimbursed, whether it's an increase in the rent to offset the utilities or how that's done, is between the tenant and the property owner. But, you know, they still have an option to have the property owner work with us. And we do not charge property owners deposits, because we have other methods in that case to recoup any final billings.
Yeah, I understand that. I guess in the culture that we're trying to accommodate mostly in Tillamook County is, and the hot button is workforce housing and accommodating the workforce. It, you know, it's just, to me, it's a little sensitive as far as, you know, the burden that's put on the tenant when he rents a house. Now, that's not our problem as an authority, and I understand the desire to not get stumped.
Yeah.
I just wanted to voice that the undercurrent and focus of Tillamook County now is to make workforce housing more affordable.
True.
Tenants.
True.
Tenants need to report.
Well, and of course, if we don't do something like this, we'll be forced to raise our rates to cover these losses, and then everybody's paying much.
Everybody pays. Yes, understand.
Yep.
If they pay their bill, it would never be an issue.
If people just paid their bills, it would never be an issue.
Exactly. So there's, it's on them to start with.
Yeah. And, you know, it's we don't have this happen very often with property owners. And like I say, if property owners, if they sell the property or if they're trying to sell the property and they aren't paying their final bill, we can still get that money by working with the title company and other,
sure,
other methods.
Sure.
So, you know, workforce housing, we want to keep cheap, but right now we're subsidizing people with free water and sewer services, and we just, it's just too much of a financial liability for us.
Understood.
Be that as it may, if no one has any further questions, I would entertain a motion for resolution, or proposed resolution 2505.
Okay, I'll make a motion for the proposed resolution. We adopt the proposed resolution number 25-05.
Second motion.
We have a motion and a second to accept resolution 2505 that amends resolution 2503. It's an amendment to that resolution. As proposed, if there are no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
All right, thank you, everyone.
Item 9, guest questions and comments. Do we have any guests?
Nope, we got nobody.
Okay. Okay. Chair, director comments. Do any directors have any comments?
Yes, I have a comment about the unaccounted for water. And the comment would be, good job, you dropped almost a whole percentage from the last report that we got, which was like 0.8% higher than this number.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, well, I think we're in a good spot. I mean, hopefully, I mean, we've been good enough now for long enough. I kind of quit making a point to emphasize it at the meetings, but thank you for noticing. I will continue, because it is important to put that that unaccounted for water calculation sheet in the board packet every month. This is a parameter that we need to pay attention to. And but we're in a good, much better spot now. As I've said, the industry standard on this is less than 15%. Every water system has water, unaccounted for water. Every water system has water leaks. When they get higher than 15% and out of the industry standard, then it's something that we really have to pay attention to. I believe that we can do better. I believe we do have some unknown water leaks still in our system that account for the 10% we are seeing. But we are in a much better place than we were even 6 months ago. So
yeah.
I'm pleased.
Congratulations to you and your staff.
Well, thank you. And we finally found the big leak.
Yeah.
And several other smaller ones, and that really made the difference. So thank you for noticing that.
Matt, you have any other comments?
No, not at this time.
Neither do I.
Explanatory.
Maybe you were going to do a reminder?
I was just gonna say, we still have a few people that need to sign the bank signature card. I think Dan's got it. You said you've got it. John's got to go. And I think they said that you need to go, too. And Lou Ann, if she listens to this.
Okay.
But I will send her an email also.
And Max, this is just the local Coast Bank.
Right.
You just run in there, it takes a couple minutes, and then you're done.
I was just there yesterday. I can go back.
They probably didn't realize you were the guy.
Well, that's possible.
But I can go in there tomorrow.
I haven't done it yet either.
But,
so.
Matter of fact, I have to go there tomorrow because their ATM was broke.
Okay.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 6:10 p.m. or 6:12. Meeting adjourned.